Gut, das Sache ist, Chelik, so das Chelik ist wohl, so das Sache, das ist Scheile, der war das Scheile, Chai Sora, Chelik, das wohl, Chai Sora, Aleph. Since the Chai Sora, the name of the Parsha is, the name of the Parsha is Chai Sora, which Chai Sora means the life of Sora. And since the name of a parsha is connected, the parsha is very simply is connected to the entire parsha. So, what is the connection between the words Chai Sara, which is the life of Sara, and the parsha? And not only is the question of what is the connection, but it seems to be superficially from the at first glance that actually is seemingly almost the opposite of what the parsha represents. Chai Sara means the life of Sara. And what it talks about in the Parsha is actually the death of Sarah. After Sarah already has passed away, the Torah describes first the Kvura Sarah, the burial of Sarah b'Aras HaMachpelah. That's the first event. Then the Torah describes the story of Yitzhak getting married, which means that Yitzhak is moving on to the next generation. It's moving from the story of Sarah to the story of Rivka, which is the future. And then it's moving to the next story, which talks about told us of Yishmael, the ancestry of the descendants of Yishmael, which again is seems to be the opposite of the idea of Sarah, which is Garish, almost as always as Bono, that idea of to separation, where Sarah actually says to Avram that you have to separate Yitzchak from Yishmael and send Yishmael out. So what is the idea of Chayas, or that the name represents life? And essentially, the Nekuda, the point of the entire Sicha is to say that when we say the word chaya, life of Sarah, we're actually talking not about physical life, the time period that a person lives throughout life, but the real chaya and the real life of a person is the effects of their life, what they live for, the ideology that they live for. Chaya tzaddik, the life of a tzaddik is in a chaya psar, is not the physical life. Physical life lasts for a certain period of time, a temporary period of time, as long as you live in this world. But the true definition of a life is what you live for, and that it has an effect even on the future. And the Rebbe goes on to explain that the basic three concepts that it talks about in this parsha of Chayei Sara express specifically the uniqueness of Sara. Because in contrast to Avram, which Avram represents Ava Among Goyim, Avram represents the father of all nations, which means that Avram was teaching monotheism and Torah, the idea of the Achdus Hashem to the entire world. That was the idea of Avram. Where Sarah is very much more specific to Klal Yisrael, the Yichudius of Klal Yisrael, the particularity of Klal Yisrael, the individuality of the people of Israel, of the Jewish people. This was connected to the idea of Sarah. And since that's what the life of Sarah is, so therefore, for example, the Maris Machpelah, which in the beginning of the story is where Avram buys this burial plot for Maris Machpelah, for the burial of Sarah, which originally this was a place that was for Adam and Chava, which is for the ancestors of all of humanity, more connected to the idea of Avram. And then the burial site is specifically for Sarah, and then eventually for Avram, and then for the Avos and the Imois, incoming Avos Ella L'Shloisha, which means that these represent the father and mothers of Klal Yisrael. So it goes from the general to the more the specific. The Yichudius of Klal Yisrael, the same thing also in the second story, which talks about the marriage of Yitzchak, that Yitzchak Dafka specifically has to get married to someone that from the house of Psuel, so how their family cannot get married even to Eliezer, who's doing the Mashkin Teres, even someone at the highest level of Eliezer, because there's something special in the quality of Yitzchak, that he needs a special quality of woman, which would be Dafka Rivka. So these are the specific things that are expressed. And also finally, with the idea of Toldos Yitzchak, Toldos Yishmael, that Yishmael recognizes that Yitzchak is in fact the Yorish, the one that inherits the bracha of Avram, and the Shalshalos of Klal Yisrael comes through Yitzchak. These are the points. That's the why Chayei Sara. This is what the Rebbe explains. And then the Rebbe talks about this a little bit in terms of the way in Avodah, the way a person has to understand this, or the Hira, how this is relevant in today's day and age. So there are basically three points, if you want to break it down. You can break it down to three points. First of all, the question, then the answer, and then the hayra. So to understand these three points, what I want to do is maybe a little bit something different. Is instead of, delving into the sicha itself, which I'm sure you have done this before, to actually read the sicha, for the marbakoimus, etc., is to understand what is the chiddushim, what is the novelty that's being expressed, the novel ideas that's being expressed, specifically in this sicha, but it connected more with the entire Torah, of the Torah that the Rebbe brought down to this world, the Or of the Torah that the Rebbe brought down into this world, the new chiddush, the new worldview, the new Torah, Hashkafas HaTorah, that was some of the foundational ideas that we find in the Torah of the Nasi. So to understand this a little, because this is important to understand for all aspects of life. So not only to understand in the Sikha, to understand what the Or, what's the big Hashkafas HaTorah that's coming down to this world, and through that to see the lens, able to see through other things in our lives that become applicable once we understand these things. And every sicha has the bigger idea, has the smaller idea, the specific idea that's being dealt with, and then there's a bigger idea. So I'll try to talk about these three big ideas. First big idea is the idea that the name of the parsha, even though it's a very specific thing, but it represents a much larger idea, but the name of the parsha is connected to the entire parsha. So this concept, first of all, that the name of the parsha is connected to a parsha, is already itself a chiddush. Because the names of the parshiyos, the Rebbe talks about this more, look at the Sichas Chelek Hei, Lech Lecha, that the name of the parsha is not so clear in the language of those as in the monk in Shas. It's not clear that these names are actually mentioned by Chazal. Because the Gemara, in a few places, but specifically the Gemara at the end of Megillah, where it talks about the different parshiyos, the different portions that we're supposed to read in the Torah, whether it's on Yom Tov or before Rosh Hashanah, before Shavuos. So the Gemara talks about different parshiyos, and the Gemara doesn't name them the way we're named. So there are specifically sometimes the Gemara does mention a name, but that seems to be more reference to the beginning of the parsha. But that's not. It's called that name. And there's no clear indication in Chazal that in the sages from the times of the Gemara, in Chazal, in Shas, that they were actually named. When does names happen? Because in general, there were different actually minhagim, there were different customs of how the Torah was read. So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakeh that we should read the Torah every 3 days. And they were read it. The Torah was being read on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. But what exactly of the Torah that was being read? How was it read? So there was a custom of Bnei Bavel and Bnei Eretz Yisrael. There were different customs. One custom was to read the Torah, the entire Torah, every 3 years. It was a cycle of 3 years, and throughout the cycle of 3 years, the Torah was read, or a 2.5 year cycle, or a cycle of 1 year. The cycle of 1 year, which becomes the prominent cycle. So even in times of the Rambam mentions these different cycles, which means that even in times of Rambam, where possibly other people still were doing it differently. But about that time, let's say about 1,000 years ago, a little less maybe, it became the prevalent custom to read the entire Torah at one cycle. That's why the custom of Simchas Torah, the completion of the Torah, arises in the times of the Goyim. The earliest mention of that is in times of Goyim, not in times of Shas, because that was not the custom then. So when the Torah was being read as one cycle, the Torah was divided into these type of parshiyos, these types of portions, and then they were starting to be named. So it's about 1,000 years. So once we have already a name of the parsha, we say this name of parsha, let's say for example Chayasara, this week's parsha is called Chayasara. So you say it's called Chayasara, and therefore it's called the life of Sarah. Therefore, everything in the parsha has to be connected to this idea of the life of Sarah. Where does this come from? Where does this understanding come from? So the simple understanding comes from is from the idea which already the Rambam writes, and this is brought down in the Aris over there. The Rambam again in Hilchos Tainis. The Rambam again in Hilchos Tainis writes, Perek Aleph, that a person should not say that something that happens in this world is mikra nikris. Mikra nikris means it's happenstance. Why does this happen this way? Why are these, let's say, things occurring at this period of time? Mikra nikris, it just happened. It's a coincidence. It's a happenstance. The Rambam writes that if someone says mikra nikris, someone that said this is just a happenstance, then this person is a hariza chazari. This is a chazarius. This is a cruel aspect. And the idea of the cruelty of that is achzari comes from the word achzar. Achzari, cruel in Hebrew, comes from the word achzar. It means I'm foreign to it, which means a person lives in a detached state from the world, and a person sees things as happenstance. It's things that are just occurring to them, not part of them, not part of their story. When a person sees that, that's a derech, that's called, that person is called an achzari, and a person should not say that. But everything in a person's life, a person should always understand that there's some deeper intention that it's occurring for. A person shouldn't be indifferent to that. So that's on the yisoid. That's one yisoid. That's one foundation. The idea of that since chayasara is called chayasara, and it's not a mikra nikris, and that's not just happens to be called chayasara because that's the first yimei chayasara. That's the yimei chayasara. This is the life of Sara. This what happens to be the first words of the parsha. But because the whole parsha is called chayasara, and it's called by the name that means the life of Sara, therefore we have to understand how everything in the parsha is connected to the life of Sara. Now, on a deeper level, why is this name relevant? How does this name become the name of this entire parsha, besides that it's not a mikra nikris? So over here, the language in the Kudas Sichas Chaylikei, the Rebbe writes, is that, and that's because that something that hundete yor mefrat nachos is very angry from the gedolim mori yisrael and it's a chavade zayin nem and apatera. Two points that the Rebbe brings out. That two one number one is that this is a name that Klal Yisrael has been calling for many, many years. Not only just regular people of Klal Yisrael, but even the Gedolei Yisrael. Everyone was calling this parsha that was calling it by the name of Chayasara. The other thing is that it becomes part of Torah. How does it become part of Torah? Because since the halacha is, and this is the way it's passed in Shulchan Aruch, this is the way the law is in Shulchan Aruch, it's a law in Choshen Mishpat, it's a halacha in Choshen Mishpat, it's a halacha in Avodah Zarah, that when a person has a name and they're muchzik, they're established with this name for 30 days, this name becomes their name. This becomes their name. This becomes halachic, this becomes their name. This is the Nechashim Mishpat, Sinu Memtes, the Ramam brings down Neven Ezra, Sinu Kuchaf, which is relevant to shtaras, to the laws of contracts, and to the laws of how you write a get, how you write a ksuva, to make sure the name. So once a person is using a name and is established that this person's name is for 30 days, that becomes halachically, according to the Torah's view, that becomes his name. That becomes the name that we have to refer him to. Which means that not only is it a mikra nikris, it's not a mikra nikris, not only is it not happenstance, the chayasara is called chayasara, therefore everything in chayasara, the parsha of chayasara, has to be connected to the life of Sara, but it's something deeper, that chayasara is called chayasara because Klal Yisrael calls it chayasara, and because once Klal Yisrael calls it chayasara for hundreds of years, it becomes part of the Torah's way, al pi Torah, it becomes the way that this parsha has been called. And there's a deep oimik to that. It's not just a mikra nikris, but it's through Klal Yisrael and through the idea of through Klal Yisrael calling it that name, it actually becomes part of Torah. More than the idea of mikra nikris. And this specific point is going to be connected to the second point that's brought down in the Sicha, the point about the difference between Avraham and Sarah and the difference between Umos HaOlam and Klal Yisrael. That in the world, there is just two ways how to think about things. One is that there's a means, and one is that there is an end. There's a means for something. A means means it's a process to get to that end, which means it's a bishvil, it's an order for, and other things in life is actually the tachlis. That the tachlis is the end in itself. So there could be a means towards something to get to that end, and there are things in this world that are the thing in itself. So when the Torah starts Bereishis, Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil HaTorah, Shnei Kereishis, that the Torah starts and says Bereishis in the beginning, which we know doesn't mean in the beginning, because that suggests already that there is a beginning before the creation, but it means for the purpose of the beginning. Rashi says Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil HaTorah, that's before the for the Torah and for Klal Yisrael. It means that the Reishis of creation, the Reishis and the Achris, the Tachlis of creation, Bishvil Yisrael, is that everything in creation is there as a means to get to an end. And what's the end in itself? What's the tachlis in itself? What's the davar atzmi? What is the essence of the thing itself? That's the Torah and Klal Yisrael. So this is the way something is transformed from being just a means towards an end to become through that Klal Yisrael calls the Torah, calls this parsha Chayisar for so many years. And that's why it becomes part of the Torah. Once it Klal Yisrael calls it and it becomes part of the Torah, it's no longer a means towards an end, but it becomes an end in itself. Let's understand this a little bit deeper. There is generally there is the opinion of the Rishonim, especially in the Rambam and the Moira, which is the idea that there's Ashgacha Klalius. That means that there is a general form of Ashgacha. There's a general form of providence. And there is also the form of Ashgacha Pratius, which means a specific form of providence. And Ashgacha Pratius is only to Klal Yisrael, and specifically to the Chachmi Yisrael, the person that is the Chacham, the person that is the wise, that's when there's Ashgacha Pratius, that is when it's very specific. So not only just general. General would mean that it's only a means to get to an end. Let's say, for example, I say that a person walks to a store to buy food to eat. So walking to the store to buy food is only a means so you can have the food to eat, to be healthy, so I guess the going and the buy province. When I say Ashkocha Klolis, Ashkocha Klolis means that the general providence is that I should have food to eat. And how I get to the store and how do I get to the place that I need to get the food and how I eat the food is not relevant. That's, there's no have food to eat. And how I get to the store and how do I get to the place that I need to get the food and how I eat the food is not relevant. That's, there's no ashkacha in there. It's this, that's just the means to get to the end. The only ashkacha is in the end. There's a cut. There's the general story has to unfold. The specifics of the story is not really relevant. That's the difference between ashkacha pratius, specific attention, which means the walking to the store actually itself is the end, or the walking to the store is just the means to get to the end. And the ashkacha is that it should get to the final, to get to the end, which means it should achieve that story. So how you get to the end of the story is not really relevant. This is the difference between Ashkacha Pratius and Ashkacha Klalius. Ashkacha Pratius, specific, means that every single detail is an end in itself. And Ashkacha Klalius is general providence, is that not every single specific issue is an end in itself. No, it's just the means to get to an end. And Ashkacha, the providence, is only in the end in itself. Comes along the Baal Shem, there was a great revealing of the Torah of Chassidus from the Baal Shem forward. And the Baal Shem revealed that there's Ashkacha Pratis b'chol prat m'prat. That there's actually Ashkacha in every single detail. But that means, that Ashkacha means in every single detail, is not that it's only the intention is to get to that end result where I eat the food, but every single stage in getting to that point is also part of the end in itself. There's Ashkacha in that thing itself. And the way to somehow, on one level, to reconcile the Rambam with the Shita of Chassidus, one way to do this, and this is the Abdomen of Bessach, and others write this as well, is to say that the Ashkacha Pratius of Klal Yisrael, because it's the Reishis, because it's the end, and the Klal Yisrael has the Ashkacha Pratius, therefore everything that orbits on Ashkacha Pratius. But it's because of the Reishis, because of Ashkacha Pratius. But it's because of the ratios, because of the prat, because of the detail, of the specific, that has Ashkacha Pratis, that has particular divine providence. Therefore, everything in Ashkacha, everything around that person, and therefore in the entire world, which revolves around the Torah and Klal Yisrael, is connected to the Ashkacha Pratis. But where do you see? Where do you see the atzmius of Ashkacha Pratis then? Of course, you see the atzmius of Ashkacha, the essence of the Ashkacha Pratius. The essence of Ashkacha Pratius is actually in the end, in the ratios, in the Tachlis, which is in Klal Yisrael and in the Torah. And this is what the Rebbe is adding, saying that when we say that Chaya Sara is the name of the Parsha that reflects everything that's going on in the Parsha, you could say, because one level you can say, really? So it's just the name happens to be the name. It's just the first letters of the Torah. And therefore, the first words of the Torah. Therefore, the entire Parsha is called this Parsha and this lumped together. But we don't say that because that would be Nikur Nikris. That would be just happenstance. So the first level is to say, no, it's not happenstance. And if everything in the Parsha is connected to the words, is together in this portion, and the portion is called the life of Sarah, therefore everything in the portion has to be connected to the life of Sarah. Then we could say even deeper, this is what the Rebbe is saying, that the idea of, since this name of Chaya Sarah is being called by Klal Yisrael, and therefore Pi Halacha, it becomes the name of Pi Torah, it becomes the name of the Parsha, therefore it becomes a Davar Atzmi, it becomes an essence idea, and therefore the every single detail of this Parsha is not a means to get to an end, but every single detail in the Parsha has to be expressing the Atzmius, the essence of what the name Chaya Sara has to represent. Not in the larger picture, say that's the overall picture, this is what has to get to that point, but every single detail of the Parsha, because it's connected to the Hashgacha Pratius, connected specifically, where is the revealing of the Hashgacha Pratius? In Yisrael there, in the Torah, and in Klal Yisrael, because it is revealing the Hashgacha Pratius in these two elements, and that is the name that Klal Yisrael gave to Chaya Sara, and that became part of the way the Torah calls this Parsha, therefore, every single detail of this Parsha has to be specifically connected in every single prat, specifically connected to the words Chaya Sara, which means the life of Sara. And this is the connected to the second point. That the first point is that the way we look at the Torah and your life as a davar, and you see it as an atzmi, as a tachlis, to see it this way. What's the second point that's brought out in this sefer? The second point is that the difference between Sara and Avram is that Avram was Avhamon Goyim. So Avram was the father of all nations. Like the Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah explores this in great detail, how Avram went around from people to people teaching absolute monotheism. So he's the leader of the generation. And Sarah is specifically connected to the Yehudius, to specific, to the Parat, to the end, to the Tachlis, to the Rishis of specifically the Klal Yisrael. That's why there's a transformation of Maaseh Machtelo, for example, in Parshas Chaya Sara, where instead of being the burial place of Adam and Chava, which Al-Pi Kabbalah, they're also connected to Klal Yisrael, but also connected to all neshamas, like the Medrash says in Shemai Sarama, they're connected to all neshamas, and therefore to all souls that eventually emerge, all physical people that eventually emerge, now becomes very specific and becomes specifically towards Maaseh Machtelo, becomes indigenous and specific to Sarah, and then to Avram, and then to Yitzchak, and to Rivka, etc. That's connected to the second point, which is the Yehudius, the specific element of Klal Yisrael. That the difference is also between Avram and Sarah is the difference between a father and a mother. That in the world of halacha, in the world of law, a father, a person's Yiddishkeit, a person's Jewishness, comes from the mother, not from the father. So a person has a Jewish mother, and so automatically this child is Jewish. Not like the Marit Ogazi writes in Choris and other Mepharshim write, it's possible that if you don't raise a child, then it's not. But the Pashto is simply just by having a Jewish mother, the child becomes Jewish. With regards to a father, in halacha, it's a different aspect. With regards to which shevet does a person belong to, which tribe, so that you say it goes according to the father. A person is from shevet Reuven, they belong to shevet Reuven. A person is Yisrael, or a Kayan, or a Levi, a Levite, or a priest, etc. That has to do with the father. What's the difference? Why, with regards to certain issues, does it follow the father, with regards to certain issues, it follows the mother? So with regards to So the answer is that everyone spoke about this idea and said like this, that the father represents sort of the status of the child. The mother represents the essence of the child, the atzmius of the child. So the status of the child is, are you a kohen? You're not a kohen. Let's say, for example, there's an idea of shrara, like a certain position that the father has. If the father has this position, and then the father passes away, let's say the father is a king, he's a malach, and then he passes away. So then the child, so long that he has the yira, even if he doesn't have the chachma, it's relevant also maybe with a rov, there's a lot of tshuvas in Ramah, whether you say this, or even with the rebbe, there's a derechaim, that the position of a child is determined by the position of the father. If the father had this position, that's a status quality. Besides things that are temporary, for example, a Meshulah Muhammad, the child doesn't inherit and become, because Meshulah Muhammad has to do with war, and therefore war is a temporary thing. So if your father was a great warrior, you don't become the warrior automatically, the general, the head of Meshulah Muhammad. In general, from the father, a child in general inherits the status. From the mother, the child inherits the essence, the essence of the quality of the person. And this is the difference between Avram and Sarah. That Avram had other children. Avram is Yatzar ben Yishmael. That he had Yishmael, but Yishmael was Yatzar ben. It was not part of Klal Yisrael. But Sarah gave birth to the first Kalman Enoyach, if the others must Kalman Enoyach to certain issues. So the first person to be born a Jew, the Atzmius of the Yid, is with the birth of Yitzchak. And who gives birth? And that's Klal, that a person is a human, and they also are part of Klal Yisrael. We're saying that from the deeper level, the Atzmius of who a person is that they're a Yid. That a Yid is his Metzias, his Atzmius, his Tachlis, the Rashis, the Ashkacha Pratis, the detail, the specific issue of him being this way. That is the tachlis of his bria. That's the essence of his bria. That's the essence of his creation. The chelik al kam imal mamish, the Alter Rebbe writes in Tanya, is not something that we have, that it's an additional, I exist, and I also have some type of spiritual quality that makes me part of Klal Yisrael, that I have an neshama that comes from, that's a chelik al kam, that I have an neshama that comes, that's the essence of the creator. That's an addition to my existence. It's my existence itself. My primary existence, not my secondary existence. My primary existence is that I am a Yid, that I have an neshama. This is b'shita. The Kuzri, and this is the shita that there's something that inherit. This is shita of the Maral, and that's a chisol. He talks about this very strong Hilavad Lishkin, the idea of the atzmis of a Yid, and then eventually becomes the shita of the Kabbalah, and this is the shita of Chassidus. This is shita what the Alter Rebbe is explaining. This is what the Rebbe is exploring. I'm saying that the atzmis, the essence of who we are as a Yid, that's our essence. It's not an addition to our experience. Just like the Torah and Yisrael in general is the Tachlis, it's not the secondary existence, it's the essence of existence. Everything else is a means towards an end. Even on the level of the Ashkacha, there's some still form of a means and an end. But then the end in itself is the Torah. The same thing also in our own is the part that makes us. And it makes us a Yid. And therefore, that leads to the third point. That's the second point of the second. The first point is the Hashkacha Pratis because of the Yid and Torah, which becomes Prat. The second point is to be born as a Jew. And that represents the Atzmius of what it is, and that's the Tachlis. And therefore, Chayasara is revealed in the life that Yitzchak lives in his future and builds a home, etc. And continues the life that Sarah lived. Not only Ma'azar B'chai, but on a deeper level, she's reflecting this idea of the Yehudias, the specificality, the uniqueness of Yitzchak, of being part of Klal Yisrael. And the third element of the Sikha, which is more that the Rebbe talks about in terms of the Nehoira, the practical application. And this becomes like almost like an understanding, a neopolitical understanding, a geopolitical understanding in terms of politics, where the politics, but the way it's worked out in the world of politics, which is that the ownership of Ma'ariv Samach Pela to Klal Yisrael And by effect, that's the beginning of Yerusha Eretz Yisrael from Avraham Avinu. As a Saticha, that's already in the present sense. That we can look at it two ways with Eretz Yisrael. The same way we look at a secondary and a secondary experience and an original experience. That we can say Eretz Yisrael is that there's a land, there's a place in the world that is the birthplace of Klal Yisrael. It's the birthplace of where Jewish people were born, where Jewish people live, and we're returning and we're coming back to our homeland, and we belong, and we're going to enter eventually the time of Mashiach fully in the holiest way into Eretz Yisrael. And our connection to Eretz Yisrael is because that's like the place that we live. It's like a means to get to living. We have to live someplace as Jews. We have to live as Klal Yisrael. We have to live someplace, and that place happens to be Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it's there as a means towards an end. That just like the Torah and Klal Yisrael are racious, are the tachlis, which is Eretz Yisrael is part of the Torah. The Torah says it belongs to Klal Yisrael. Essentially, belongs to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Rebbe says when people look at Eretz Yisrael, the defense of the Eretz Yisrael and what is the chulis of the hashkacha pratis that we find Torah is not just the means. Begins and the end in itself, and there's a tachlis of every single thing and every single prak and prak, every single detail.